Hello and welcome to the Somatic Movement and Mindset podcast with me, clinical somatic educator and founder of Total Somatics, Heidi Hadley. The Somatic Movement and Mindset podcast has been designed to help you gain a deeper understanding to how your mind and body work. You will learn about your amazing mind and body and why over time you can feel pain, recurring injuries and poor posture. Within this podcast, I will teach you why this doesn't have to be your future or the norm for you. Would you like to learn how to reduce pain, move freely, and gain a new lease of life? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back. Now, just before we get started, as always, if you're watching this on the Total Somatics YouTube channel, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and press the notification bell. So whenever an episode is released, you're the very first to find out. So today, let's consider another aspect of somatic in September as we delve into this particular podcast series here. Now, what I'm going to do is share with you some of the fundamentals that Total Somatics shares globally within the Total Somatics membership towards great health and well-being. Now, we know from previous podcast episodes that we've discovered the importance of somatic movement, somatic mindset, somatic mindfulness, gratitude and empathy. And so what I'm going to do today is share with you how collectively we can put them into an expression that we're going to call GEMS. So G-E-M-S, and all will be revealed on how GEMS can be very much part of our life. Now, for a start, how often do you hear in these episodes that I might mention your amazing brain or your beautiful soma? And those words are said deliberately to encourage us to increase our awareness and notice how intelligent our beautiful system is so that we don't start to take it for granted. So it's part of that gratitude practice. And really, that's where we're going to start, is with the letter G, G for gratitude. So when we show gratitude, there are shifts and huge changes that we see on a neurophysiological level. And there's a lot of research that's showing now how practicing gratitude improves people's mood, and it shows fewer symptoms of depression. And you may argue and go, well, that's easier said than done. It's really hard to be grateful for anything when you're really low and you're not feeling great. And to be fair, that's a pretty fair comment, because as humans, what do we naturally do? We latch onto the negativity, don't we? That's the way we're made. So we have a negativity bias. And that was really in order to help protect us in survival stress situations very early on. However, we don't live in those days now where you're searching that a saber-toothed tiger may be about to catch you or hunt you down. But we still have those instinctive survival properties within our nervous system, which is good for times like when we're about to cross the road and we hear a screech of a car, and we instinctively, so your subconscious takes over and it creates actions to take you back onto the footpath. So you see, they're really important that these instinctive stress responses kick in. The difference is, as I often mention, it's how long we live in them. People can live in them for decades. And what we want to do is have a flexibility that we can come in and out of these stress reflex patterns. Because if we stay in them, they create rigidity, they create a lot of pain, changes in our posture, and of course, cause a lot of issues to what we plan to do as our future goes on. We can be very restricted if we're living in a very tight, tense body. So we've considered that there's this negativity bias. And so what we want to start to do is shift our mindset. So moving less away from the negativity and more towards a proactive, positive, empowering mindset. And really what we want to consider is that resources, and within Total Somatics, there's so many resources available to help create a flexible and resilient nervous system. And it's very easy to feel overwhelmed by negativity. But when we have that insight, and when I teach you within the membership ways to notice things and then we can recalibrate, that's where the power lies. And so let's consider practicing gratitude. It has been revealed that it improves emotional well-being. And as I mentioned before, fewer symptoms of depression. It lessens the feelings of stress and anxiety. And it creates higher levels of self-esteem and enhanced life satisfaction in different areas of life, even including work, because it creates a greater optimism and focus and happiness, really. And so That is very much the research is showing that gratitude correlates with greater personal accomplishments, job satisfaction, work well-being, and reduced burnout. Really important because, especially around 2021, there was a huge spike, but globally with burnout. And people thought they were managing everything right, but they were just living on a hamster's wheel. And then things just hit like a brick wall. And they kind of completely crashed, completely out of character behavior. And that's because they allowed themselves to go into that stress pattern and that cycle. So it's when you get those times of burnout, you think, oh, I've really allowed my subconscious to ride and create and increase this stress pattern. So we need to harness these techniques. We'll harness our nervous system by developing these techniques. Gratitude is a huge one because when we develop gratitude, we look at things and we appreciate things much more. And that is wonderful. What I'd love us to do is put some of this knowledge now into practical application. That's what Somatic in September is about. If you're listening to this and it's not September, still do this. It's just periodically, well, annually, every year, I do this Somatic in September as a little bit of a stop for us to reassess what we're doing. But it doesn't matter. You can do this throughout the year because what I suggest you do is get yourself a little notebook or, wherever you can just make a few little notes because handwriting is really powerful and impresses on your brain. So actually handwriting this is really powerful. And that is, could you about three or four times a week write down five things that you are grateful for? And if you can do this over the next 3 weeks, notice how it shifts and it changes your perspective. For instance, my husband and I, we have a gratitude jar. Granted, some weeks we don't put anything in just because for different reasons, really, if things are very busy. But what we do have is like little post-it notes, and we usually write three or four or five things in that post-it note, fold it up, put it in the gratitude jar. And then usually on New Year's Eve, or if we're on holiday around New Year's Eve, whenever we get back, we have a look at that gratitude jar and see what we were grateful for over the year. And it's a really nice way of just looking back at the year and then also very excited about the year to come. So create whatever, if it's a gratitude jar or if it's about writing in a notebook three or four times a week, 5 points that you're grateful for. Something else that I'd love you to consider also is, could you hand write a little note, a little gratitude note to two or three people and just explain to them why you're so grateful for them? Highlight some of their positive attributes, why you appreciate them as a friend. Because often we don't do those sorts of things. We can sometimes take our friends for granted, our family for granted. And yet when we stop, what that's doing is it's twofold. We are developing a gratitude process and an attitude to gratitude for that friend or that family member. And then when they receive it, it again creates even more power because we then have an effect on them. And again, imagine what that gratitude note would do for somebody. Because we don't always really know what's going on in somebody's life, but to receive something like that really can shift and make a huge difference to somebody. And really, when you don't know what's going on in someone's life, to pick up something like that is amazing. And it could also just be to notice somebody. I know many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, there were some really stressful things happening in my life. And just to have somebody put their hand on my shoulder and go, "It's good to see you." And I went, "Oh, thank you." They don't realize what that hand on the shoulder and that comment looking straight in your eyes meant. Can you see how we have such warmth, love, and power that we can really create this ripple effect, and create huge change in our local area, in our society? And one thing I've made a little note here is that the handwriting of gratitude notes to people, what it actually does is it has a huge effect on their well-being and also on our well-being, but also on people receiving it. Because what the research has shown is that people feel valued, they feel noticed. And in an era where loneliness has become a huge issue, they feel less lonely because they feel noted. They feel they're aware of what's happening. And so that's G for gratitude. But let's consider the letter E for empathy. Now, empathy flows in really with my previous point, and it's about, again, showing that compassion and that kindness. And I just want to emphasize the point of empathy means to put ourselves in somebody's shoes. And we can do that. But I want to emphasize emotional empathy, because we can still be pretty clinical and go, yeah, it must be really hard to be in that situation. But when we actually feel empathetically visceral, we feel it really from within. That's when we are driven to serve and support people, as well as take good care of ourselves. But it's that warm emotional empathy that has huge impacts. And when we are empathetic, we're less judgmental. And I want to put a scenario to you, for instance. Let's say you're sitting somewhere and a lady comes along and she puts her bag down and she's in a bit of a state and she can't find her car keys and she's looking everywhere for them. And then what would you do in that situation? Would you continue to sit there and think, oh, what's going on there? And create with your ego a level of judgmentalness and all sorts of things? Or would you consider, because we'd be driven by our heart, letting our heart drive us because we've got that emotional intelligence and we've got that emotional empathy, in a compassionate way to say, can I help you? What are you looking for? I've lost my keys. I don't know where I'm going. I'm in a bit of a state. Have you checked your pockets? Let me just have a look. Where have you just been? You could be that calmness when somebody has a very dysregulated nervous system. We don't know why they're like that. Maybe they've recently been widowed. Maybe they've just been given some sort of diagnosis or prognosis of something. You see, when we have empathy, when we develop our emotional intelligence, that is very powerful. That is part of our somatic well-being. When we're totally somatic, we are noticing how our internal world is driving our thoughts, our words, and our actions. That's how powerful this work is. It's not enough to know it academically. It's watching it being driven by our heart and everything that goes with it. And as you will see in a future episode, I'm going to delve much more into the connection between your heart and your brain. And this is all tying in together. So again, it's a truly somatic or a totally somatic approach to this whole situation. Another example I'd like to share is actually a personal experience that I had when I was 18 years old. So my friend and I, we decided to, part of some psychology studies that we were doing, we went to a day center for homeless people. It's a homeless center in the hometown where I'm from in England. And it hit us so much. We went back there on a regular basis and got to know the people. Because when we got in there, it opened our eyes. It stopped that judgmentalness. It really deepened our empathy, or our emotional empathy, really. Because when we started chatting to people in this homeless shelter, what we discovered were there were some very posh accents, some very, very nice accents, very well educated. They were professionals. But what happened was, is that in their life, they were in quite demanding jobs, and they would take their clients out for lunch where they'd have a drink. And so they'd have some alcohol, and then they would be entertaining them. Then they'd go back to the office, and then they'd go home, but they needed to drink to wind down because they were wired. But what happened is more of these entertaining their clients and then needing more to wind down at the end of the day, they needed a few more drinks. And what happened was they became like functioning alcoholics. But in time, what it started to do was impact the quality of their work, the quality of their relationships, to the point that eventually this snowball effect impacted their work. They lost their job, they lost their marriage, they lost their home, they became homeless. This is what really struck me at 18, was to see how somebody's life can change incredibly quickly. And sometimes, if we don't stand back and have that empathy and have a little less judgment, but look at the bigger picture, we can see things through a different lens. And so, what my view of was listening to them is, whenever you see somebody that may be homeless or that's a disadvantaged situation, acknowledge them, say hello. Because one person said to me that he had a managerial position and he remembered that all of the perks that came with that. But now, as a homeless man, he was invisible. That hit me massively at the age of 18, to the point that it shifted the way that I viewed people, because people can have a narrative, they can have a judgment about why people are in those situations. But we need to develop that empathy, and that again creates a society that's much more tolerant, much more flexible and resilient in the way that we manage situations. So, considering that, I'd like us to ask, how can we practice empathy? I mean, let us consider some ways that don't really cost a lot, well, cost anything at all, really. So it could be that we are actively listening to somebody who feels lonely, feels ignored, feels marginalized in society. It could be practicing acts of kindness. It could be like a smile or saying hello to somebody that you walk past quite often, maybe when you're walking the dog or when you're in the shopping mall or wherever you are on the way to work. Could it be that maybe you buy a hot chocolate and a muffin, a blueberry muffin or something like that, for one person that you see homeless in the street? And there may be a lot of people in your city, but consider if you bought one of them a hot chocolate and a muffin each time that you went, how much it would make a difference to that person. Maybe it's volunteering at a soup kitchen, or maybe a refuge for people that are suffering in domestic violence situations, somewhere that needs that support, because it's not always monetary. It's often, again, just our time, our love, and our energy into this type of thing. This is still creating that total somatics awareness, because what it's starting to do is take us out of a headspace where we can be incredibly anxious and stressed and ruminating over our own things. And when we start developing gratitude and developing empathy, it makes us stand back and look at everything more objectively and look at things more globally. Because again, research has shown that when we practice empathy, we receive significant changes and levels of well-being and optimism. And again, as I mentioned before, life satisfaction. And what we do is we decrease those symptoms of anxiety, and we have that greater sense of connectedness. Remember, we live in a world that's more connected than ever before, but in many ways, we're more disconnected than we've ever been before. So consider how we can start to bring a somatic, a truly and totally somatic practice to everything that we do. And then let's consider M. So when we're thinking of gems, we've done G, E, and now we're on M. So M is for mindful. Because in a world where we've got social media, we've got reality TV, we've got commercials that are throwing and advertising everything at us all the time, promoting the must-haves that we have, that we've got to have, the latest thing, what it can start to do is create distraction and discontentment and dissociative actions for ourselves. So we just don't notice, we're disconnected, we're just chasing something all the time. And so when we become mindful, what we start to do is we are less distracted or less conditioned by these stimuli. We're less driven by the impulse of things. And rather, we just allow ourselves to sit and feel that calmness. And that distraction can also be with things like mobile phones. How often do we allow ourselves to be reactive? We might be talking to somebody, we might be going for a meal, and that phone sits on the table. Or we're talking to somebody in a situation where really we want to be developing that rapport, that empathy, that gratitude, that mindfulness. But the phone is beeping and ringing. And even if it's on silent, it's still vibrating, which means it draws your attention away. It creates a conditioning. It heightens and creates a hypervigilance within our nervous system that we need to check it just in case it's an emergency. And sometimes it could be, but in many cases, we've allowed ourselves, like Pavlov's dogs, we've allowed ourselves to be conditioned to that device. Whereas, can we let that be on silent and just be here in the moment, allowing the mirror neurons where we're connecting with somebody in person, developing with our mirror neurons empathy, mindfulness, gratitude? That is what's going to build emotional intelligence. It's going to build our emotional empathy, and it's going to create that connectiveness and that resilience within our nervous system. Can you see with total somatics more than just movement? It's about looking at the behavioral changes which drive many of the postural patterns that we have, many of the neurophysiological behaviors that are going on within. And so that's why let us consider how we can sort of shift our focus. Because when we are mindful, we're more attentive within the moment. We are more respectful of people that are spending time with us. And so could we allow ourselves to create greater eye contact, connect with people, put the phone down, instead of people seeing the top of your head, just connect. But things such as like when you see somebody, I mentioned the example of somebody's lost their keys. If we just put the phone to the side and we've seen this person panicking because they can't find it, that's again showing that emotional intelligence that we don't need pacifying with the phone all the time. We can be sitting there noticing what's happening around us. How can we serve? How can we support people? How can we create this cohesive or this coherence between our heart and our brain and their heart and brain? Which again, as I've mentioned, you will discover even more of that information in a future podcast in a few weeks' time. Look out for that. And that ties in again very much with this episode. And so if we look at the final letter, S, so that's S in the letter GEMS there, that is somatic movement. And so somatic movement is incredibly powerful. It's crucial for changing a lot of those instinctive stress patterns that have developed through stress, trauma, injury, habits. You name it, your brain is constantly shifting and changing and adapting. It alters the level of tension within your muscles. And if you're not aware of what's happening, you can start to live in a very tight, tense body. And that basically starts to increase your pain. It decreases your mobility. It affects your posture. And it shuts down certain parts of your brain and takes you more into that limbic system, that fight or flight stress response. Because if you're holding a posture long enough that's recreating that fight or flight stress response, your brain doesn't know the difference between perceived and actual danger. And every time you hold this posture, it reinforces energetically to your nervous system that you are in a survival mechanism. So the two, the posture and your emotions, feed in with each other. So can you see why somatic movement is so important? Because we reset the tension and tightness in your muscles. We come back to a new level of neutral. And when that happens, it means that we can work on our emotional and mental well-being too. And the two come hand in hand, they marry up beautifully together. Because when we are stuck in these stress cycles, that no amount of willpower is going to take us out of them. We need to jumpstart with the process of pandiculation, which is what I teach with the somatic movement component of total somatics. And that is what, when we jumpstart, we reset your nervous system and we release those patterns of tense, tight muscles. And so that's why bringing total somatics to so many people globally over the years has been incredibly rewarding. And it's wonderful to see how the feedback and the support that people have felt over the years. And what I really want to do in our next episode is share an incredibly inspiring lady with you. Now, this lady has been practicing somatics for nearly 10 years, but she's had some challenges in recent times. And what I'd like you to consider is how she's applied GEMS. When you listen to our interview, you will see how she's applied GEMS to her life. For something that could have been pretty overwhelming, and again, she could have gone one way or the other, but she chose to go with a total somatic approach to her health and well-being, adopting GEMS every step of the way. So please do not miss that next episode that will be out. And that again is very much showing how powerful total somatics is as we consider somatic in September. So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed learning about the GEMS, and the GEMS, which is just, again, it really shifts and changes the state of our mindset. So until next time, all my love and my very best wishes. Take care. Bye. Thank you for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and also forward this on to somebody you know will benefit. To learn more about pain relief, plus how to improve your health and well-being, go to totalsomatics.com. Until next time,
Take care.